Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Lenten service will be taken from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and we'll be looking at the 9th chapter of Genesis and reading from verse 8 through verse 17. Genesis chapter 9, and we'll be reading starting from verse 8, where we read in the name of our Lord. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy the earth or to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you again this evening for your word. And we do pray, Father, that indeed you would open this message unto each one of us, that we would see you, Father, as that great covenant keeper. So, Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. Very interesting when you begin to look at the Old Testament readings that are placed in the church calendar during the season of Lent. As you perhaps know, or I'm sure you know by now, I for the most part preach through the calendar texts on Sundays and on the evening services from various other books. But tonight I thought, as I was looking in considering actually this morning where I would preach from tonight, I begin to think about the Old Testament lessons that are set out before us within the calendar text and how those now address us in our daily living today. And maybe not even so much how they address us in our daily living, but what they speak to us concerning our God. And so I thought tonight we'd look at this familiar story. My Bible doesn't like to stay flat like this, but I may have to keep pushing it down. It doesn't like to stay open. But I thought it was interesting to look at what was established with Noah first of all. It's quite an interesting story. Most of us, perhaps all of us, are familiar with the story. We've read it as little children. We've imagined, you know, exactly how all of this would have taken place. We've thought about the events leading up to the flood. All of these things have fascinated most of us, I would think. But I don't know if we've ever looked at this and really begin to understand what God was establishing. First of all, of course, he was wiping out all of the evil people who were dwelling on the earth at that time. And that's something to consider in and of itself, but that's not really the point of the message at all tonight. The point of the message tonight is this, that God now establishes his covenant. Notice, God is the one who establishes it. At no point does he include men in this in the sense of who will uphold the covenant. Now, I understand the covenant that is made here, the agreement, in case you don't know what a covenant is. A covenant is just simply an agreement that someone would make. I will uphold my end of the bargain always. I will make this covenant with you. And we're familiar, perhaps, with this term and with these things that God does all the way through Genesis, but even more than Genesis, all the way through the entirety of the Bible as he renews his covenants with the people over and over and over again. It tells us that God spake unto Noah and to his sons, with him saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and notice, and with your seed after you. The Noahic covenant, as we know it, is this simple covenant that God has made now with human beings, telling them that he will no longer destroy the earth with water. But actually, implicit within this Noahic covenant is also this preservation, as it were, of the seed. The seed that was established already back at the very beginning when God told Adam and Eve, after they had fallen into sin, that he would crush the woman, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. You see, it's not hard for us to recognize a gracious God within the flood story, where we see now God having favor upon, or showing favor now to this race of people, these people who were rebellious. But there was one man whose name was Noah who found favor with God. And you know the rest of the story, don't you? Noah was instructed to build an ark because God told Noah, I am going to wipe out these people because the inclinations of their hearts are evil continually. And so he instructs them to build basically a big box, a big boat. And it's quite large, and he says everything will, I want you to preserve not only you and your wife, but also your sons and their wives, and the male and female of every creature that exists in this world. Now, it's kind of fascinating to me to consider this whole account, to consider what took place here as Noah begins to build this thing. And, you know, we all hear, probably have seen the children's stories where they have this depiction of Noah building his ark, and you got all these other people sneering at him. You know, look at what is he doing? He's building a big boat in the middle of the dry ground, in the middle of the dry land. But you think perhaps when the animals started showing up on the scene that the people would have begun to wonder, well, what is this all about? But you know, really, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good at all to surmise what these people might have thought. What is fascinating about this story, about this account in the history of the world, is that Noah listened to God. Noah listened. God spoke unto Noah, and Noah heeded the word of God. You're familiar with the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I think I even spoke on it a little bit a few weeks ago. And this is what really sets all these people apart. And you know what really sets us apart as people in this world? It's not because we have ancestors who came from Finland, sorry. It's not because of our Scandinavian descent. It's not because of anything that we bring in and of ourselves. What is significant about you and I tonight is we believe the Word of God. Noah believed the Word of God, and so he followed through on what God told him to do. He built this big boat, this ark as we refer to it as. He went on there with his sons and his wife and their wives and all of these animals, and then the rains fell. And it rained for 40 days. And do you know how long Noah sat on that ark? Does anybody know? A long time? He was on the ark for 1 year and 11 days. And you know what's interesting about that? That's not so significant that you remember that. There's not going to be a quiz after or anything like that. What's significant about that is that God remembered Noah. I don't think it's any mistake in the scripture. When you go to chapter 8, the first verse says, "And God remembered Noah." Noah, who had been floating in this boat, in this ark, for all of this time, waiting for what God had promised that he said he would do. God remembers. You see, that's what's significant about a covenant that God makes. The significant thing about a covenant that God makes is that God never, ever will fail in his covenant. He will never fail in his word. And what he establishes here now with Noah, we're very familiar with as well. He says, "And behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And then God says, "This is the token of my covenant. This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. For all of the generations that would follow after Noah and his sons." He says this covenant stands basically forever, or better said, for the life of this earth. "And it shall come to pass," or verse 13, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth." Now, what is interesting about this is this rainbow, as he calls it a bow here, this rainbow that we now see in the clouds, or we see on a rainy day when the sun begins to shine. And if you ever lived on the West Coast, they had the best rainbows, by the way. What is the significance of that? Is it just so you and I can look at a rainbow and remember the story of Noah, remember the reason why the rainbow ever came into being? I mean, that's okay, right? If we look up and see a rainbow and remember, oh, I remember now. That's right. The rain will stop. And this would be real significant. I was preaching this on the West Coast because then they would have something to look forward to. The rain will stop eventually. But he says, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of the flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Is it possible that God could forget? Why would God set up a sign like this to remind himself? Why would God, who is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, do this thing of which we are reading about tonight? Why would he set it up in this fashion that when the rains fell and when God looked upon the earth and seen this rainbow that appears there in the sky, it would remind him of his covenant? Because I think the reason why we see this in this manner is very telling, for lack of a better word. Because God always works in this way. He marks out his covenants with some sort of sign or token. And here he uses a rainbow. Unfortunately, the rainbow in our world isn't used for a very good sign any longer. People have used that for all kinds of strange things, and I won't get into that tonight. But we need to remember that the whole significance of the rainbow is that God, when he looks upon this, would remember his covenant that he established with Noah and his family and with all of those animals as well, interestingly enough. God says, and the bow shall be in the clouds. And he repeats himself here, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh and all flesh that is upon the earth. And that's amazing. That God would have such a compassion for the people who live here, the people who come off this ark now, that he would begin to show them of his great kindness. He didn't tell them, look, I'm going to put this rainbow in the cloud so when you look upon it, you'll remember me. He says, no, I put the rainbow there so that I remember the covenant I made with you. I will never destroy you any longer by waters of a flood. And as we look at the various covenants that are set up within the scripture, this is what we see. Over and over again, things are done in certain ways so that the people who see the covenant would recognize that God marks his covenant with a special sign or token so that he will never forget what he has done. And I can't explain that for you. Why would God have to put a token up in the sky so that he wouldn't forget? Because it points forward all the way to the time when God would establish another covenant with men. When God would take his son, and he would send his son into this world. And his son would go to the center cross of Calvary, and there he would spill his blood. And that blood would mark an everlasting covenant that far exceeds the rainbow covenant. Because the rainbow covenant simply marked out this fact that God would no longer destroy this earth with water. He would no longer destroy all flesh with water. But Peter tells us in his letter that one day this earth will be destroyed, but it will be destroyed by fire. And the one thing that will stand between your destruction and mine is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is this blood now that speaks to us of the forgiveness of God and of his powerful covenant that he has established between us and him. You see, really, the parallel between this passage and what we're considering in Lent is this, that God, when he looked upon this rainbow, would remember that he had made this covenant, but now when God looks upon you and me, he doesn't see us in our sinfulness any longer. He sees us as marked by the blood of the Lamb. There isn't really enough time for us to go through all of these various things that take place within the Old Testament, at least not in these Wednesday night services. We will perhaps look at some other ones in the upcoming Wednesday nights. But this much you need to understand. No matter how you look at this whole thing that God did, if you look how you look at rainbows, you need to understand this much about this covenant. It is God who established it. It is always God who carries out his work. It is always God who establishes these things. And it is God who also finished the work that needed to be done for you and for me to ever gain heaven's glory. And interestingly enough, we who have been given the ability to believe this message, when we believe it, do not receive any glory for ourselves at all. The scripture tells us, in fact, that our faith will always glorify God. It'll bring glory to God. When Noah and his sons exited the ark, they built an altar there. Immediately, Noah built an altar, and upon that altar, he sacrificed or offered a sacrifice to God. And it tells us that that sacrifice was pleasing to him. And thus, he establishes this covenant. When Jesus Christ died on the center cross of Calvary and shed his blood for the sins of the entire world, God was satisfied. He was pleased with that which his Son had accomplished. And when Jesus uttered the words from the center cross of Calvary, "It is finished," that's exactly what he meant. You see, our God, who we worship and serve, not just on Wednesday nights and Sundays, is an amazing, amazing God. That he would extend his grace unto people who didn't deserve it at all. that he would take and mark people who live in this world with the blood of his son so that they could be washed and made clean and made fit for heaven is a miracle beyond any other miracle that you can ever imagine. You see, we can look at the whole thing of a rainbow, and we do. I mean, perhaps you children remember that when you were in school, you'd shine lights through a prism, and you can make a rainbow on the wall or something along those lines. And so we explain that scientifically. But you can never explain scientifically the love of a father who would send his son into this world to be condemned to death, to shed his blood, so that people like you and I, who are gathered here tonight, could be joined onto this God, who is a God of covenants, who is a God who establishes and makes his agreements. And when he does, he always upholds his end. And that's what's significant about this text. It's just not about rainbows, even though those are beautiful. And when we see them, we run outside and we want to look at them and take pictures and whatever else we want to do with them. What is significant is that God, upon looking on this rainbow, remembers. And God, when looking upon us and our hearts now marked by the blood of his Lamb, by the blood of his own Son, remembers. He remembers that we are his children. And he tells us later in Jeremiah, and I don't really want to jump ahead because those are for other sermons, but Jeremiah is the text where it tells us that our sins and our iniquities, he doesn't remember. Because he's marked us. Do you guys realize that up there in the balcony? He's marked us. He's marked you with the blood of his Lamb, with the blood of his Son. And he has established his covenant forever. And one day we will see this covenant being fulfilled in all of its glory and splendor. And guess what we'll do? We'll glorify God, who in his kindness remembers us and takes care of us each and every day. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this evening for your word. We thank you, Father, that indeed as we read your scriptures, as we read your word, that, Father, it is solely by your grace that we believe the things which we read. And it is solely, Father, because of your kindness toward us that we even tonight can consider ourselves your children. You, Father, who have established this covenant with us by the blood of your Son and by the power of his resurrection, Father, all of these things have been brought to their fullness. And so we ask, Father, again tonight that you would help us, each one of us, as we live out our lives here in this world, that we would never forget all of the things that you have done for us in establishing your covenants of old, and in these covenants preserving the seed of your Son. So that day would come, Father, that we could all be then restored unto life. So thank you, Father, for all these things. Thank you for life. Thank you for the natural things we enjoy here in this life. But thank you most of all for the salvation which is ours in Christ. And Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.